Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Our security has been shaken after 9/11. America is no longer hidden behind some wall of righteousness that protects us from vulnerability to our enemies. And we're still living under the cautionary alerts that there are terrorists who would do us damage if they had it within their power to do it. They will inflict damage on the people of this nation. And they don't care who it is, men, women, or children. This religion believes in killing all the enemies, and men, women, and children are the enemies of Allah if you don't espouse Islam. And why that it is so defended with that in its very tenets is still a mystery to me. I don't see how anyone can defend a faith that allows for that kind of non-combatant. I'm not talking about collateral damage, just when there's a fight going on and people are caught in the crossfire. I'm talking about when innocent, unarmed people are the target. Can you say amen? And the terrorism, the target is just innocent, unarmed, non-combatant people. And that's what happened in America. And suddenly we were shaken. Suddenly we realized that we can be touched by the terrorism that's touching the world. And that realization is still here. Your security is shaken when you hear of a sniper and the guy is finally caught. And guess what? Now there's another one in West Virginia, they believe. And there's people being killed, shot in the head and shot in the neck, because there's a copycat killer out there. So when you go to the 7-Eleven, there's no guarantee when you walk out, except in God, amen, that you can have complete security because there's a large police force in your city. One of the largest police forces that included the CIA and the FBI was in Virginia area, particularly around the White House. And yet in this general vicinity, amen, there was terrorism on our own shore. And we realize that your security is something that can be easily shaken. Can you say amen? Your health can be shaken. You read every day of new strains of viruses and new diseases that are reticent to, our antibiotic. I'm not telling you all these negatives except to let you know that there's no place you can stand in this physical world and not have your life shaken. Can you say, man, there's a spiritual shaking. I'm going to bypass that. You know about all these things. You hear of these things. Men's hearts are failing them for fear in the last day, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. This means these are not unfounded phobias. These are fears that are legitimized by the facts and the realities of the things that are coming. Can you say, man? And God wants his church in the time of this great shaking. The Bible said there would be a trembling in the sea and the waves would be roaring. Can you say amen in the last days? And the earth would shake. And one of the things that he uses to shake is earthquakes. I think there's 7 of them in the book of Revelation. They're judgmental earthquakes. They're going to shake the earth. And the Bible said a day is coming when the whole earth is going to be shaken. And the heavens are also going to be shaken. And the stars will fall from heaven like untimely figs or unripe figs from a fig tree that's shaken with a strong wind. Can you say amen? And the wonderful thing that Christians understand about shakings is that all shakings, for the Christian or those who trust Christ, have a positive result. You didn't hear me this morning. I don't like it any more than you, but if it's going to happen, I want to find the silver lining. Can you say, man? I want to find the good that God is going to bring forth in the time of great shakings, because the time of great shaking is here. There's a great shaking in the church world. The Episcopal Church this morning is going through a mighty earthquake shaking. Can you say, man? And you know what's going to happen in the Episcopal Church? I'm going to tell you something. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But what is the positive result of that? Amen. There are people that are standing apart and distancing themselves and not like lambs bowing down, amen, to that goes against Scripture. There are people within that same church that are saying no. Amen. We will not follow this. We will, whatever it takes, not in the name of unity, not in the name of denominational loyalty, not in the name of respect for our presbytery, we will not put the Bible down and follow this. Amen. So everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken so that which cannot be shaken might remain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what God wants you to discover in the time of shaking in your own personal life and world. He wants you to discover that which cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? Because your security and your hope and your joy in a world that is shaking like this is going to come from discovering what cannot be shaken and building your life on it. Can you say amen? Everybody say unshakable. That's where God wants us to get today. I want to just read a scripture that has, I believe, an insight in it. A little teaching this morning from Matthew 8, verse 23 through 27. It's about a storm at sea, a great tempest at sea, and a great God that we can look to in the time of great storms and tempests. But this is a tempest unlike any other tempest at sea that's recorded in Scripture. There are tempests. Paul went out to sea and a great storm came up, a great tempest arose. And the word tempest is used for great storms all throughout the Scripture, but it isn't used that way here. Do I have your interest? This is not the Greek word for tempest that's used in every other case that tempest is used in Scripture. Not this tempest. This was a different tempest. That's why it was so terrifying. It said, and when he entered into a ship, Matthew 8:23, his disciples followed him, speaking of Christ. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Everybody say tsunami. That's not a Greek word. That's, if you were in the islands, that's a word for something that threatens islands with a lot of coastal cities and coastal residences. And that is that a tidal wave that has been set in motion by either a great hurricane or particularly a great earthquake, amen, at sea would create what is called a tsunami. Now, I could give you some statistics on 100 feet is a small tsunami to hit. One thing for sure, when it hits, when it's earthquake-driven, when it's created by shaking of the earth, amen, then it is a terrifying force. Can you say amen? It sweeps everything. There's nothing that has been built that could withstand a tsunami of any size because of the volume of water and the force created. Amen. It's like an elephant coming at you at the speed of a bullet. Someone said. That's a pretty good analogy. I don't want to be hit by an elephant at the speed of an ant, amen, let alone at the speed of a bullet. Can you say amen? And there arose a great tempest. Everybody say tsunami. That's not the Greek word, but I'm going to tell you what it is, and then you'll understand why. Insomuch that the ship was covered with the what? The waves. But he was asleep. Isn't that incredible? I mean, this is a God that doesn't sleep through storms because he doesn't care. He sleeps in the midst of storms because he knows. Amen. He knew they were going to wake him up, and he knew he was going to stop the storm. Amen. He knew all about that. He knew Peter. Listen, everybody say he saw the end from the beginning. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He don't just know most things. He knows everything. Hallelujah. He doesn't just have some power. He has all power in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means he's able to subdue everything unto himself. That means unto his own eternal purpose. Can you say amen? And his own sovereign will. Glory be to God. That means what the devil hatches up, amen, to overwhelm you with, God's way ahead of him. He saw the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And he's able to use everything, including that snare of the enemy or that attack of the enemy. Amen. And use it for good if you love him and listen or the called or surrendered to his purpose. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Well, you know, don't be too hard on those guys. This was waves literally taking that boat like a matchbox and knocking it all over the place and coming over top of it. Amen. Any minute the thing would list, possibly, and go under. I worked with a man that was served his time near Alaska, servicing lighthouses for the United States Coast Guard, and in between their port and one of these distant lighthouses, amen, they had to go through a channel, and a great storm came up in Alaska. And he said they were in their cots, and their cots swung like this, you know, and he said it woke him, swinging him and bouncing him in this hammock-like cot, amen, because they were listing to one side and the other, riding those great swells. And he said he went up into the conning tower, whatever it is, that'd be submarine, but where the captain of the ship was and where they were steering the vessel. And he stood and looked over the captain's shoulder, and there was a little there was a warning light and buzzer that would come on, amen. And it was when it listed to a certain point, because it means that now it's in such an imbalance that if it goes a little further that way, it's going to capsize. It'll literally be flipped over, amen, because it's tilted too much. And a light would come on and a buzzer would buzz real loud that would hurt your ears. And he said he'd hear that buzzer start to buzz, and he would pray. And it would list the other way, and he said the buzzer would start to buzz and the light would flicker and he'd pray. Amen. He said, I learned how to pray in the midst of a mighty storm. Amen. Hallelujah. How many has ever heard that buzzer and saw that warning light and says, boy, if this thing goes just a little further the way it's headed, I'm going to be shipwrecked. I'm going to be capsized. Amen. But it ain't good to know that there's a God that just at the moment, amen, when it could go one way or the other, tilts it back the other way. Hallelujah. It's good to have a God in the time of a storm. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about the word tempest here, and you're going to know why this was not like the other tempest in Scripture, and why it was such a horrifying thing, and why there was so much more at stake here than when you originally read it. It's seismos. Everybody say seismos. The word seismos, the Greek word, and I'll read it from a commentary, was used 14 times in the New Testament. 13 times it's rendered earthquake, except when the earthquake is at sea. And then it's rendered seismos, tempest. It's the same word for earthquake. 13 other occasions in the New Testament, it's rendered earthquake. What they were facing at sea was not just a tropical storm, a tropical depression. Amen. There was wind with it, but it was a wave driven by an earthquake. I'm going to tell you, when Satan shakes you to overwhelm you, it's not going to be some little tremor or minor trembling. It's going to be a great shaking. Can you say amen? And everything that can be shaken loose is going to be shaken loose, so that which cannot be shaken might remain. And that which cannot be shaken is not people with such seaworthiness and such fearlessness. No, that's not the key to standing unshakable in a time like this. Amen. I'm telling you, you can't help but be afraid. He said, why did you fear? Well, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't connect with you there. Can you say amen? If this is a tsunami, if this is a tidal wave that lifts this boat up over 100 feet in the air and suddenly drops it, amen, after that swell, and another one is coming behind it, Lord, without something supernatural happening to counteract this, we are going under. That's why we're afraid. That's why we came to you. And when he was talking about fear, some of the gospel stories or illustrations tell us that he was in the hinder part of the ship and he was asleep. I want you to understand how to put it all together, because they came to him and they didn't just shake him to wake him or make him aware. Amen. They had a concern about his seeming unconcern. Have you ever been concerned in the midst of a storm about God's seeming unconcern? Where is he and why isn't he doing something about this? Because I see the light and I hear the buzzer. Did you say amen? Can't he see the light and can't he hear the buzzer? You know, he's the Ancient of Days. Is his ear becoming heavy and his eye becoming dim that he can't see what I see and hear what I hear? Can you say amen? Oh, don't sit there, amen, in such hyper faith and tell me that there's no storm that can ever touch your life that can make you wonder where God is and why he's not doing something. Thank you for the hearty amens. Hallelujah. I know we shouldn't. God knows we shouldn't. Here's what he was saying. One of the other narratives says, and one of the other gospels is, he was in the hinder part of the ship, and when they shook him, they said to him, King James Version, Master, don't you care that we perish? Amen. I believe here that he wasn't questioning their faith to speak to the waters or speak to the wind. Amen. But their faith in the concern and the love of Jesus Christ for them. Can you say amen? The great issue is not can God pull you through your trial, but will you doubt his love as a result of that trial and not keep your trust in him? What Jesus was saying when he said, where is your faith? Isn't why didn't you go out here and do what is unique to the sovereign God? Can you say, oh, you didn't hear me today. Can you say amen? He won't. Oh, you're not listening. You've been brainwashed. Then why don't you talk to your trials? Why don't you talk to yourself while you're at it the next time you're in a blue purple funk? Can you say amen? Why don't you, why don't you get a hold of life and manipulate it to your own will instead of letting it drag you like it does sometimes? Amen. God don't want you in control. God wants you to know that he is in control. Can you say amen? Faith don't put you in control. Faith puts God in control. So when he said, where's your faith? It wasn't the faith to go out and talk to the wind and water. It was the faith to trust in God's love in the midst of the storm. Hello? Master, don't you care that we perish? He said, why don't you have any faith? In what? In his love for them. His concern for them, even in the middle of a storm. Wow. I don't want to be in control. I believe in the authority of the believer. And I believe as far as God's will is concerned, I have authority. I believe I have authority over Satan and all his minions today. But I don't have authority over my life. I don't have complete authority over the circumstances that are going to touch my life. That's in the hands of a higher authority. Hello? Jesus didn't have that authority over his life. He said, my works are not mine. And he spoke as a man having authority. Never a man spake like him. This earned him the reputation of a man that even the wind and waves would obey him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This shaking is enough to cause fear to come into any heart. But if Jesus is on the ship, there's no reason to be afraid. So he said, oh, ye of little faith. Because they said to him, according to the other narrative, Master, don't you care that we perish? And that's what he was talking about. We want the faith to control our entire environment instead of trusting Christ's love and putting our faith in him to take us through whatever comes to our life. Amen? Amen? Everybody say abandon again. I love the faith that let me rest in the arms of God in the midst of storms. You didn't hear me. I love the faith that I don't have to figure everything out with. I just have to trust the God who saw the end from the beginning. I love the kind of faith that gives my soul a rest, a peace in the midst of storms. Hallelujah. I love to abandon myself to God. And if the car breaks down, I say, this is God. Hallelujah. This must be God. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the faith that says, though people are cursing me, it's okay because it could be God. Oh, that's a hard one. Amen. There was a man who threw dust at David, threw stones at him. David was the restored king of Israel. He was ready, and he could have just given the word. In fact, amen, he was cursing him and casting stones at him. And one of David's entourage, amen, one of his posse, amen, said to him, he said, listen, David, he said, just say the word, and I'll shut his mouth. Literally, I'll cut his tongue out. Can you say amen or cut his head off? And David said, let him alone. It just might be that God bid him to curse me. May be a test. See, you're laying everything out on the devil. Let me just clue you in. It just may be that God allowed something to perfect you. That God allowed something to bring you back to His fold. That God allowed something. But it's not because He don't like you. It's because He loves you too much to leave you to yourself. Can you say amen? He said it just may be that God did it. Can you imagine in this hyper-faith world believing that God allows anything to tempt you or test you? Well, you read a different book than I do. If you ever pick up the Bible, you're going to find that Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. He didn't get it from a tape or going to a seminar. And if you don't suffer in the flesh, you ain't never going to cease from sin. Thank you for the hearty amen. God's trials are designed by love, executed in love, and result in love's eternal purpose when they're through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I drop to the floor while preaching this morning and the Lord takes me home, amen, it is no defeat for me. And you shouldn't interpret it as a defeat. Amen, because I will not have went before my time. Can you say amen? Because my time is when He calls me home. Amen. And when my time comes, it's going to be all right to go home. All the intercessors were interceding for Paul, but Paul knew it was time. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Hallelujah. Everybody say there's a time for every purpose and every season and every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and there's a time to die and a time to build up and there's a time to tear down and there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. Hallelujah. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. God is moving in the fullness of time. That's another message, but that's a good message. Hallelujah. Because God is a stickler. And He's precise in His timings. Amen. Things happen in the precise timing of God. That's why patience is such a great boon to faith, a great virtue, a corresponding virtue to faith, because you've got to wait upon the Lord. But if you do, you renew your strength. Hallelujah. Amen. The Greek word for earthquake is seismos, from which we get the word seismograph. This is the instrument by which the intensity of earthquakes is read. The Greek word is translated earthquake 13 times in the New Testament, but it's used one other place where it's not translated earthquake. The reason is because the effects of it were taking place not on land like all the others, but on the sea. So the word seismos, this one time, is translated tempest. One time, because it was at sea. 14 times earthquake, 13 times earthquake, one time because it's at sea, seismos. Every other place you find tempest, the same English word, it is a storm, a violent storm, a mighty storm. But this time, it's a wave and wind created by an earthquake. This was a mighty shaking at sea. And it's bad enough to be shaken on the land when you might be able to burrow into a hole or find some place to try to hide yourself. But at sea, there's no place to hide. There's nowhere to run. Oh, yes, there is. They ran to Jesus. Don't knock that faith that runs to Jesus. Don't outgrow it. Don't try to take control in the storm. Run to Him who is in control. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Don't try. Oh, hallelujah. There's an abandon in the book of James. And it says, my beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Everybody say great shakings. Hallelujah. Amen. That shake you to your foundations. Don't. My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect worth, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Can you say amen? For he that wavereth is the one that's really going to be shaken. Hallelujah. It's like the wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. So don't waver in your faith in the midst of a storm. And that way the storm won't drive you and toss you. Christ will cause you to be unshaken in the midst of a mighty earthquake circumstance. Because He has sovereign authority over heaven and earth. Everybody say heaven and earth. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey whom? Obey Him. Can you say amen? you don't speak to your mountain, but you speak to the mountain in faith that God, who has the power, is going to act in your behalf, not because you have become just like him in authority. That's delegated authority. It's not the same as the one who delegates it. Can you say amen? This idea of little gods and manipulating your whole life. I wish some of these people would go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital and use that mighty authority to get the cancer off these dear little children. Can you say amen? Instead of just getting cars and wristwatches and great mansions. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe it's a lot more in the will of God and the character of Christ, don't you? Amen. This is a redundant question. This is a ridiculous question. But we need to ask the redundant and the ridiculous in the face of ridiculous teaching. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I believe it'd be a lot more in the will of God to use your faith to get a 7-year-old beautiful girl with a shaved head out of a hospital bed and back in her parents' arms than it would to go down and see if you can believe God for Alexis this morning. Can you say amen? But they that are of the flesh do what? They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the spirit, amen, take a whole different attitude. Can you say amen? And you don't have to be very spiritual to understand that that little girl's life to that mother, amen, is worth all of the SUVs that has ever been made in any factory anywhere in Rolls Royces and gold and silver and diamonds. Offer her the Hope Diamond, the biggest diamond in the world, or her little child, amen, coming home well, and she'll say, the diamond is rubbish compared to my child. Well, let me tell you something else. Amen. The whole world and its riches are rubbish compared to the mighty kingdom of God and eternal life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'll give him praise this morning. You got to start living your life for eternal values. And you won't be so shaken when the things around you in this world are shaken up. God's going to shake this old world. He is shaking this old world. And He's shaking the heavens. Hallelujah. And something is emerging out of the crumbling world and the crumbling, amen, kingdoms of darkness. A mighty church is emerging. Hallelujah. That cannot be shaken is coming forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word seismos is this one time translated tempest by the King James, or furious storm by the New International Version. It was the occasion when Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm became so furious that the waves threatened to sink it. The disciples were fearful of drowning. Matthew 8:24 tells us this was a seismos, or a storm caused by earthquake, by shaking of the earth at sea. This is very common, and history is filled with accounts of great tidal waves created by earthquakes. This was no ordinary storm. The power of this storm was overwhelming. Everything was shaken except Jesus. Everybody except Jesus. Aren't you glad you know Christ today? Boy, I'd rather run to Jesus than go to all the seminars on how to chart my own course and control my circumstances. Come on, that puts a real heavy trip on me. Because if my faith isn't up to the test, we're going under. Can you say amen? If your faith isn't up to the test, you're going under. I'd rather have my faith in Christ. Because even when I begin to sink and cry, Jesus saved me, I will not go under. Peter got out of a boat in the midst of a other kind of tempest, a wind-driven, rain-driven tempest. Can you say amen? And he was walking in the water, and when he saw that the waves were mighty and the wind picked up, he began to sink. Hallelujah. And Jesus, he said, Lord, save me. They said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? In both storms, they went to the Lord because the storms had shaken them. We got the idea that there's a place in faith that we will never more be shaken and we don't have to run to Jesus. That's the wrong idea. Amen. What he was saying when he said, amen, why did you so fearful? You of little faith wasn't. Don't be afraid of the storm. Don't face reality. He was saying, amen. He wasn't saying to them, you go up there and talk to that storm. He was saying, you always remember that I love you. No matter how intense the storm comes, I am with you in that storm. I'll help you through that storm, but you got to come to me in that storm. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? This was not something that was causing. He didn't want them to grow independent from him, but more dependent on him. Oh, it's so good to rest in Jesus today. That my crying battle is Jesus. My crying storm is Jesus. My crying need is Jesus. My crying weakness is Jesus. My gospel is Jesus. Hallelujah. My faith is Jesus. He's Alpha, Omega, author, finisher, A to Z. Hallelujah. Looking to your faith that has been built up by Dr. So-and-so's great teaching. No, looking unto. I'll say it again, church. Looking unto. Looking unto. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? So easy for me to look to Jesus. Where's your faith? They would tell you, well, they should have went out there and rebuked the wind and rain. No. The issue was, don't you care that we perish? And he's saying, where's your faith in what? My unfailing love. Even when the storm tries to tell you it isn't there, it is in fact there. Can you say amen? God wants you to discover just how unshakable his love is. One of the things he wants you to discover real quickly this morning is the unshakable kingdom of God. Everybody say the unshakable kingdom of God. Oh, I've been a pastor for 30 years. I've hobnobbed with some higher-ups. That means people with bigger churches. Amen. That's all in that respect. I've hobnobbed. I've got to rub shoulders with some spiritual giants, I guess you would call them, in my lifetime. Amen. And I've come to know through personal study and personal testimonies that they have given on certain candid occasions and crusades some of the people's personal testimonies. And I can tell you there's nobody out there that is impervious to the kind of shakings that can come to the life experience living in a fallen world in a faulty body with a devil that is set on your destruction. There are storms, amen, that can come, shakings that can come in your life that without Jesus, amen, you are no match for, no matter how much you built your faith, unless you built your faith on trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Can you say amen? And it's an easy faith. Life through our faith, and we never have any fears or qualms, no matter if an earthquake is shaken, amen. And the Bible said we wouldn't fear, amen, even though the mountains be cast down into the midst of the sea. Why? Because we trust in God to keep us. Amen. Not because we can change the circumstance, but because we trust him in our circumstance to take us through the circumstance. I have no problem running to Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. Everybody say, that's easy faith. Everybody say, I'm scared enough to do that. Oh, you think that's not biblical in talking about faith? Noah believed the word of God that a flood was coming. Moved by fear. Everybody say, fear can motivate you to believe. It said Noah. Hebrews 11 says, Noah, moved by fear of what God said was surely coming, by faith built an ark to the saving of his household. Can you say amen? Well, moved by fear, by faith, I run to Jesus. But when I run to Jesus, I manage that fear. Can you say amen? I do not want to be standing out there just me and my faith. I want to be standing out there, me and my Savior, me and my Sovereign. Hallelujah. That way if my faith shakes, he doesn't shake. And my unshakable faith, if it becomes unshakable, is because it's in an absolutely unfailing God. Hallelujah. Well, I just thought I'd run that by you so you'd understand that you don't need hyper faith to get delivered. You need simple childlike faith in a God who's promised to not fail you. Otherwise, you can be shaken. Because if you go through the right kind of trial and your faith isn't up to snuff, then what's going to happen to you? Can you say, man? The shield of faith is not just your ability to believe in time of battle, but your trust in the author and finisher, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hearty amens. Amen. Amen. I trust the Lord to take good care of me. I call upon him in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. I cry unto him. I pour my heart out to him. Hallelujah. And God comes through. Let me read from Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. Let's talk about just a minute the unshakable kingdom of God. This is good. It says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. The Bible said God spoke to us in the past through the prophets, but now he's spoken to us through his Son. Can you say amen? It's different in the new covenant, isn't it? It's direct. He spoke in the Old Testament to Moses as his prophetic mouthpiece to come off of Sinai and speak to the people. He shook Sinai. Amen. The ground shook. The mountain shook. Billows of smoke came up. And God spoke through Moses to his people, through a prophet and a leader. But he spoke in the New Testament, the New Covenant, through his Son. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. When he speaks through his Son, it's so clear, it's so pure, amen, that there's no excuse for not listening. Everybody say, no excuse for not listening. I can't believe, especially in the intellectual community, is just a code word or code sentence for I will not believe. You know why? Because the scripture says to every man, and that includes Dr. Fahrenheit. So many PhDs, they call him Dr. Fahrenheit, or so many whatevers. Amen? D's, DDs, PhDs, degrees. He can believe. You know why he can believe? Because to every man, every man, every man, every Muslim man, every Baha'i man, every Islamic man and woman, every person who worships witchcraft and voodoo, everybody into Satanism, everybody into humanism, everybody into intellectualism, can you say amen to every man? Can you say amen? Smart men, dumb men, all in between, rich men, poor men, and women, and boys and girls, to every man was given the measure of faith. Why? So that the gospel could be believed. It's not a matter of can't believe, it's a matter of won't believe. It's an act of the will after the truth is brought forth. Can you say amen? If we sin willfully after receiving knowledge of the truth, that's the context of that to the Hebrew people. It wasn't that they couldn't believe. The Bible said when many of them believed on him, they would not confess him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We got to get this thing down to where we really live today. It's not that we can't believe. Unbelief is an act of the will. It's not because we can't. It's because we choose not to. The fool has said in his own heart, there is no God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you about that foolish man. He has the faith to believe if he chooses to, because to every man is given the measure of faith. God will not send one soul to hell, amen, that couldn't believe. The only people going to hell are people that wouldn't believe. Can you say amen? We sin willfully after receiving knowledge of the truth. There's no more sacrifice for our sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. For if they perished under the law of Moses who sinned, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye they will be worthy that have trodden underfoot the blood of the everlasting covenant. We heard the gospel of a Christ, the Messiah, that died upon a cross and shed his blood for our sins, and we spurned that message. And in the spurning of that message, amen, one Greek translation says it's like stepping on and spitting on the blood of Jesus. Amen. And honey, on the day of judgment, when grace was offered, that kind of grace, and refused, there would be no excuses, no place to stay. That's why the Bible said, don't refuse him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, that is under Moses' law, right? They perished who believed not. Amen. Much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven. Who is this? This is Jesus. This is Jesus. whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, by the way, if you read back up in the context of this, you're going to see a comparison between Old Testament Sinai, the mount that couldn't be touched, and New Testament Zion, the mount that can be touched. Can you say amen? The mountain that could be shaken by wrath because God's people couldn't approach him, and the mount that will not be shaken by God's wrath because we have access with confidence by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's the context of this reading. Amen. It's God speaking to Moses after shaking that mountain Sinai and him going and speaking to the people, and then God speaking through Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to this. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he's promising yet once more. Verse 26, and I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom, listen to this, a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. You know what there's a need for today? Amen. Not to take grace for granted, but to serve God acceptably and reverently and with godly fear. If the word isn't working in your life, it's because you're not bowing to the God who spoke it. Can you say amen? And if you ever bow to the God who's speaking with reverent fear, that means awe and respect with love and affection. Everybody say awe and respect with love and affection. It's amazing when those two come together. Can you say amen? Don't ever say you love your mama and be completely rebellious and disobedient. Don't tear up when they lay her to rest, when you've done everything in your rebel heart, amen, to do despite every good thing she ever taught you. And don't you even try that with God Almighty. Can you say amen? Don't think putting flowers on her casket, amen, is going to make up for a life of rebellion and causing her heartbreak. Amen. If you love her, begin to surrender to some of the right things she's trying to teach you. I've been to too many funerals seeing a bunch of whacked out kids trying to make up for the rebellious life. Well, you can't do it with flowers, and you can't do it with songs and fancy caskets. Can you say amen? You can only do it while they're alive. Amen. Listen, God is looking for some people that'll begin to serve him with the right heart attitude. Can you say amen? You want the word to work in your life? Bow to the God who speaks it. Hallelujah. With reverence and with awe and with affection. That's why so many impotent preachers and impotent pulpits in America today is because people are listening to words they have no desire to bow to. Yes. So basically, we don't want to be changed into his likeness. We want to stay ourselves and get his gracious blessings. The Bible said we got an unshakable kingdom. We got a kingdom that can't be moved. And we need to put that kingdom above this world that can be moved. Can you say amen? It ought to be first. Seek ye what? First, the unshakable. Hallelujah. The immovable. The eternal. The everlasting. How many believe the everlasting ought to take a little precedence over the temporal and the material? Gerald Baldry used to quote a quote that I wrote down so I could remember to quote it. He is no fool. He had read it somewhere and he loved to quote it. He is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to obtain that which he can never lose. Can you say amen? They think you're foolish for giving up a promotion that will take you out of church and take you out of God's presence and God's service. You are not a fool. You're putting something eternal above something that is temporal. They think you're a fool because you don't work two jobs in overtime and stay out of church so you can have an SUV and a jet ski. Can you say amen? But that's going to pass. How many know it's going to pass? It's going to pass. If you got a new car, it's going to rust, brother. Sorry, you're in Florida. If you're in Michigan, it's going to rust too from the salt on the roads. Amen? It's going to stink after a while. It's going to leak. Sooner or later, you're going to get a leak. Something's going to jar a window. You're going to get a leak, and something's going to mildew. Can you say amen? If you've got kids, they'll take care of the stink for you. Can you say amen? Amen. They even got fragrances. It's new car smell. Honey, there ain't nothing like new car smell. There ain't nothing they ever put in a bottle smell like a brand new car. Amen. But it ain't going to smell that way for too long. Can you say amen? You're going to step in something in the yard and you're going to track it on the carpet. I'm sorry. It's just not going to stay that way. It's going to pass too. Can you say, man, you can have a 100,000-mile warranty, but pretty soon the windows won't work. The transmission is going to slip. The valves are going to clatter. The tires are going to go. Can you say, man, hallelujah. And people are literally selling their soul for some sinful pleasures and for some things that they can hold in their hand. And Jesus was astounded at man's lack of perception, amen, and values. He said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? We've received a kingdom that cannot be moved, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. God said, I'm going to shake heaven, and I'm going to shake earth, amen. I shook the earth when I spoke through Moses, and I shook the heavens when I sent a little baby. They didn't know it, but the greatest shaking to ever hit this planet is when a baby was born in Bethlehem. Heaven was shook up. The powers of the air were shaken. Can you say amen? There was a trembling among kings. Some of them trembled because they wanted to worship the King of Kings. Others trembled because they knew there's a new kid on the block and he's all powerful and my reign is in jeopardy. Can you say amen? Hell shook when Jesus was born on this planet. Can you say amen? God shook this universe and the reverberations of that mighty quaking is still, the tremors are still being felt 2,000 years later in the 21st century. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He spoke from earth through Moses after shaking Sinai, but he shook heavens when he sent Jesus and the earth. And he said, Jesus is going to shake loose. Jesus is going to be the shaker that shakes loose everything that can be shaken. Today the issue is not your denominational preference or loyalty. It's whether Jesus is going to be Lord or whether he is not going to be Lord. And everything that can be shaken, brother, is going to be shaken so that that which cannot might remain. There's a church that's not built on denominational dogma or denominational creed or social activities or political preferences. There's a church that's built on the bedrock of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And my Bible said it's an unshakable church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It ain't going to shake. It's going to stand. My sheep know my voice. It don't matter about the terrible, diabolic deception in the world. His sheep will not listen. They can't be shaken. I'm not talking about everybody that hits the church door on Sunday morning. I'm talking about His sheep. God's going to find out who His sheep is. Oh, He already knows. We're going to find out if we're His sheep or not. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And follow me. You got to deny yourself and take up your cross in order to follow Him. But His sheep will do it, brother. They're not looking for the easy road. They're looking for the right road. Hallelujah. Because they know He'll make their feet like hinds feet. I feel revival fire in me. I can't help it. Don't care how many people turn back. I care, but you understand concerning me and my walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. If 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. The word for 10,000 is not 10,000, by the way. It's a Greek word for infinity. It goes beyond thousands upon thousands. But he used it in a way that we could get a little grip on what he was talking about. Can you say, man? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's 1 billion or 10 billion or 10 trillion falling. The issue is, are you being kept by his power? Can you say, man? Not what's happening to them, but what's happening between you and him. And it gets down to you and him after a while. Amen. And down in that psalm about God's keeping power, Psalm 91, not being afraid of anything. Amen. Because trust in Him will cause you to be unshakable. It said that because He put His trust in me, because He set His love on me, because He cried out to me, hallelujah, I'll keep Him from all of these things. It's personal. It's got to get personal. Can't go to heaven on your granddaddy's coattail. You can't, amen, stand against the enemy on the prayers of some intercessory family member. You got to pray. You got to seek God. You got to find God. You got to discover the kingdom and find out that it's worth everything in your life to possess it. This is an unshakable kingdom. Let me tell you what Harry Emerson Fosdick, a great pulpiteer of old, said. He said, the highest use of a shaken time is to discover the unshakable. I like that. When everything that can totter is staggering, then it's time to get our eyes on what stands firm. It's time to get your eyes, number one, on the kingdom of God. I can't cover all these other unshakable things, but just the kingdom for a little while. The unshakable kingdom of God. Verse 28 of Hebrews 12 says, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. I like the New International. It said, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he hath promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Amen. We need the sense of reverence and awe, because what we've received is eternal. It's unshakable. My body drops today, Robert A. Venable will be fine. Thank you. Amen. You hear what I'm telling you? It may shake you, but if it happens like that, it will not shake me. To be absent from the body is to be what? The material is gone, but what's left? Amen. That's going to live you forever. That's beyond pain and beyond heartache and beyond heartbreak and then beyond sin's touch any longer. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. That real me inside of this old body that is going to deteriorate and die in spite of all that I do to it. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I wish I was. I mean, if I wasn't a preacher, you know what I'd like to be into? Face cream. You can get rich selling face cream. It's not just the women that use it either. Men use it. Amen. What is the guy, Rockstar's daughter, said she just wished she had the money. Said even she's got a Hollywood career, but she said, I'd rather have the money my dad has spent on face cream. Aging rockers are trying to stay young to pull them in. Can you say, man, it was the Aerosmith guy. She said, I wish I had the money my dad spent on face cream. Anyway, so I'd like to be in face cream. Hallelujah. Amen. You get the men, you get the vain men, and you get the lovely women. Can you say, man, only vain men use face cream, but women are just trying to stay lovely for us men. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Oil of ole for men and oil of ole for women. Can you say, man? I'd have my I'd have my own brand. My own brand out there. Hallelujah. I'd be getting rich. You can't stop the aging process. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you looked in it naked? I'm telling you, Father Time is taking its toll. Oh, everybody's getting a laugh out of that. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I never could see going to a nudist colony. Who wants to? There's some things you just don't want to see. Can you say amen? Everybody think a bunch of Playboy bunnies going to go prancing around Lake Como. Not. That's one temptation I don't have to fight. Anyway, moving right along. We've received a kingdom that can't be shaken. That's why the Bible said, seek ye first what? That can't be shaken. Amen. Don't seek career. Don't seek, amen, your personal material world. First, get your priorities straightened out. God said, you know something? I know everything you need in this temporal material world. And I'm a good father and I'll see to it. If you get your priorities right and get your values right so the devil can't hornswoggle you and hoodwink you and damn your immortal soul. Can you say amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's a kingdom that cannot and will never be shaken. Can you say amen? Eternal life is worth more than anything the devil can offer me in this life. Hallelujah! That's why when he offers a Christian with that kind of value the world, there's no contest, because you know the world passes and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Everybody say, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Halabakisinia. When everything that can totter is staggering, that it's time to get our eyes on what stands firm. One translator said, "Sir, see to it that you obey God, the one who is speaking to you. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, how terrible our danger if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that the things on earth will be shaken, so that only eternal things will be left. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be destroyed, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him, listen to this, with holy fear and awe. I love him, but I fear him in the reverential sense that this mighty God who gave his son comes to live within me and comes to meet with us when we worship. And he deserves not just our selfish desire for a blessing, but our reverence. Because it's that reverence during worship that opens our heart for obedience during the word. Can you say amen? I always call the worship team and worship leader plowing the ground. You get the blisters. Can you say amen? Because you're plowing the ground. You come in with a cold audience. Not this one, of course, but you know, some churches. Slick, aren't I? Can you say amen? That may or may not have worship on their mind. And here you got to worship. In fact, you might have been jerked through a knothole backwards that week. And now the light is on you and you have the microphone. And people are saying, lift me up if you can, brother. Can you say amen? And so when we close our eyes, sometimes it's because we just want to see Jesus. And sometimes it's because we don't want to see anyone else. Sometimes it's devotion and sometimes we don't want to get distracted. I love the Lord. Haggai chapter 2 is this prophecy that was being quoted here. What God would do through the Messiah in the future. It has to do with Israel nationally then and spiritually in the future. So there's national repercussions of this prophecy for the immediate. And there's eternal repercussions for the future. And that's the way most Old Testament prophecies run. Even the types of Christ were in a circumstance that was then, but with a prophetic word that would reach beyond there into the future. So in Haggai 2, 6, and 7, see if you recognize this, these words here. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. For thus saith the Lord, Haggai 2, 6, and 7. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Most students of prophecy say, that's when the Prince of Peace arrives to establish the kingdom. And the real desire of all nations is peace on earth. And they're going to be led astray by a satanic counterfeit called the Antichrist. But one day Jesus Christ is coming to establish his kingdom. And when he does, the desire of all nations will come. And when he really came to set all this in motion, was in a manger in Bethlehem. So this great shaking started in Bethlehem. Amen? Isn't it incredible? Hell shook. And is shaken to this day. Christ came to this earth to bring God's salvation plan. His birth shook the world. The tremors are still shaking the heavens and the earth. He came to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Listen, it's not any gospel. It's not any missionary effort. It's going to bring Christ back. Can you say amen? It's when this gospel, everybody say specific. When this gospel of the kingdom of God is preached into all the earth, then shall the end come. This is the saving gospel. This is the one with salvation in it. This is the one with the only way to God. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Not the pseudo-Jesus and the pseudo-gospels out there. The gospel of any road will get you to heaven will not in fact get you to heaven. The gospel of one God with many roads is not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of pantheism, many gods and all of them leading to salvation is not the gospel of the kingdom. It is precise. It is exclusive. It is all about Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because the kingdom is the rule and domain of a king, and Jesus is now King of Kings. and Lord of Lords. We Christians have been placed in that kingdom, that unshakable, everlasting kingdom. Colossians 1:13, speaking of Jesus, said, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Isn't that incredible? We've received a kingdom which what? Cannot be shaken. Death can't shake this kingdom. For Christ our King is the absolute ruler over death. Satan cannot shake this kingdom, for Christ is the absolute victor over the devil and his minions. Everything outside the kingdom is material and can be shaken. Everything in the kingdom is spiritual and lasts forever. We're in this kingdom where Jesus is the supreme, sovereign, undisputable King. And there's not a devil that can dispute that fact and that reality. They knew Him. Can you say amen? And they had no choice but to bow. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And you're in the rule and domain of that King. And we need to bow to Him. Can you say amen? I said we need to bow with our face to the ground. Hallelujah. Your world is shaken. You come to Christ and discover the kingdom of God. And something positive and powerful has resulted from the crumbling of all that we had our confidence in. We've traded the temporal and the transient for the eternal and the unchanging. That that can be shaken for that which cannot. There's other things. There's the Word of God. Amen. The unshakable Word of God. Let me tell you something else unshakable. The true church is unshakable. Amen. The love of God is unshakable. Nothing can shake it. Nothing can separate me. No shaking can separate me from the love of God. That's what Jesus was talking about on that boat. He said, everything can shake. And it looked like I don't care, but I do. Trust in me anyway. Run to me. Call upon me. Cry unto me. I don't expect you to be strong. I expect you to come to me. That's how I want you to use your faith. You see that today? God is so gracious and so good. There's a shaking coming. It's going to be so strong, people will want the mountains to fall on. Book of Revelation is about the wrath of God. This Savior rejected has come back as judge to the earth. And the Bible said the world shall mourn because of Him. When He arrives to the unsaved world that's rejected Him as judge, not as Savior for His church, but judge to the world. That's why His hair was as wool. That's judgment. His eyes were a flaming fire. That's not piercing, seeing into the heart. It's indignation in the Greek. It's facing wrath because mercy's been rejected. It's what Moses talked about. If we reject His message of grace, His message of love, there's no more sacrifice for our sin. There's no blood atonement anymore. And we've got to stand in the presence of a God, not only that we've sinned against, but we've rejected His Son's sacrifice. And that becomes the paramount sin of all and deserves the worst judgments. Can you say amen? This is serious. Don't refuse Him that speaketh this morning. This is not some preacher talking to you today from the Scripture. You're not refusing me. You're refusing Him. And that's why I don't get too bent out of shape. It bothers me because I know the consequences of refusing Him. But I don't take it personal when you refuse me, because this is not about you and me when I read from the Bible. This is between you and God at that point. There are people left this ministry because they don't want to hear what God has to say. But they want to sing to Him and pray to Him and have His blessing. They just don't want to hear Him that speaketh. They don't want His lordship, but they want His leadership in life. You can't have His leadership without His lordship, because He can't lead you if you won't bow. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so good. This kind of faith works for me. This kind of faith works well for me. One man said, in any troubled time, this is the secret of the soul's triumph. When everything's being shaken, look to discover what nothing can shake and build your life on it. Can you say, man? Will you stand to your feet today? Brother, would you just get ready to worship? I've got a choice there today. Sometimes I don't, sometimes I do. Glory to God. one, I guess the guy was from West Texas. He's from somewhere. He commented on, I think there's 7 judgment earthquakes in the Old Testament. He said this, after reading about it, he said, this old earth is going to shake like an old dog trying to rid himself of fleas. It's going to shake violently. There's an earthquake coming which will shake and create tsunamis. And every island in the sea will be engulfed. That's how mighty. The heavens will shake as well. The stars will fall from heaven like figs, green figs. Figs that are not ready to be taken off, that are attached, hard attached to the tree. Green figs that you couldn't shake the tree and get them to fall, but a violent wind is going to cast them down. Tear them loose, literally. That's the kind of shaking that's coming. Spiritually, the church is being shaken now. Right now, a bride is going to emerge. The true is going to emerge from the false. Right now, it's happening. Some of the people you thought were brethren, as the shaking continues, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Because the Bible said, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You can't live in both of those worlds. Can you say amen? You can't claim Christianity. You can't claim it with your tongue. You got to live it with your life. Amen. Can you say amen? And that involves changing your values. Amen. Kingdom of God is eternal. That's where eternal life springs from. That's where everlasting life comes from. This is where that peace that passes understanding comes from, and the joy that strengthens you for anything comes from. It comes from this invisible but very tangible spiritual kingdom. It doesn't come with observation. You can't see it with the natural eye. It's like a treasure hidden afield. And the analogy is there's a man, he's not even looking for the kingdom necessarily, but he stumbles on it. How many people have been just going their way and suddenly had a God encounter and the scales fell from their eyes? Did you say amen? He's plowing the field. He's not hunting buried treasure. Amen. There's a lot of people found the kingdom wasn't looking for it, but it was looking for them. And so God put it right in their path. Hallelujah. So they're just out plowing their field in life and they hit something. And they stop to see if it's a stump or a rock. And when they uncover it, they find that it's a treasure trove. And it's full of all kind of treasure. And evidently they're working for somebody, sharecropping, because they go and sell everything they have and buy that field. Can you say amen? And they look at us Christians and say, I don't know why that they don't go out and drink and have a little bit of fun. When I had the flu, I got it so bad I wanted to get some antibiotic because I prayed and everything. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to use antibiotic. That'll help. So well, I went to the doctor. I'm not apologizing. It's okay to go to the doctor. Amen. As long as you go to God first. Amen. And trust Him when you're at the doctor's. Hallelujah. So I went, and I had a male nurse come in, was taking care of me, and he says, do you smoke? And I says, no, sir. He says, do you drink? I said, no, sir. He says, you don't have any fun, do you? And I thought, fun? I used to smoke. I used to drink. I know what kind of fun you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. Amen. I'm not talking about fun, temporary fun, amen, that can be shaken by cancer, that can be shaken by a tornado, that can be shaken by a power outage that shuts the country down, that can be shaken by terrorist bombs, that can be shaken by diseases. I'm not talking about fun. I didn't tell him that, but I'm just churning on the inside. Amen. I shut him down, though. All I had to say was I'm a Christian, and I just blew him away. I mean, you'd think I had AIDS or something. I mean, he's backing off from me. Can you? I thought he was going to go get his gloves and put them on just to put a tongue compressor on me. Amen. Because I'm one of them. Yeah, I'm one of those people that are selling out to Christ to this because I've discovered a treasure. Amen. You think I don't have any fun? This is not about just fun, brother. This is about the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is about eternal life. This is about not being afraid of dying, hallelujah, and not afraid of living, because I've received a kingdom which cannot be moved, hallelujah. I haven't come to the mountain that can be shaken, but to Zion which cannot be shaken. and will not be shaken by the wrath of God or the circumstances in the world. They that trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion. Mountains may fall to the sea, but there's one mountain going to stand the shaking. Mount Zion is a type of the church in the Old Testament and the kingdom of God. And they that trust in the Lord will be just like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. For as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about His people to deliver them. You want me to give that up for an escalade? You want me to give that up for an escapade? I won't do it. It ain't worth it. You want me to sell my soul? Your Father knows what you have need of. He knows everything you need on the outside, and He will take care of all the needs on the outside if you will open the door to Him and let Him take care of what you need on the inside, saith the Lord. He will take care of the temporal if you will first let Him take care of the eternal, saith God. For He came to redeem your eternal, immortal soul. Yea, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Oh, but saith God, you will be so full, and you will be so free, and your life will not be subject to the enemy's tantalizing temptations. For I will fill you with living water, and when you taste this water, you will thirst no more, saith God. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah.